How many people have you had sex with at one time at a sex bar or anywhere?
I've had a couple threesomes. I had two threesomes in one night one time.
Wow. Are you on a psychedelic while you're doing it?
Not typically. I once microdosed mushrooms before a sex party.
Welcome to The Fallen State. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Don't forget, support The Fallen State by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate or click the link in the description for locals.com. And I do appreciate it. She is back. Susanna Weiss. And Susanna was a guest on The Fallen State 4 years ago. Wow. 4 years ago. She's a sex and relationship coach, a writer, and the author of a brand new book, Subjectified, Becoming a Sexual Subject. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's amazing that you're back.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is.
And so how have you been since we talked 4 years ago? What you been up to? How are you? You still everything? What's up?
I've been pretty good. I wrote a whole book, and I'm working on a new book, and I also got a master's degree, and I'm working on my second one, so I've been very busy.
Really? Mm-hmm. And why a second one?
Because I would like to be a therapist. The first one was in sexual health, which is just my current field, and now I'm working toward becoming a therapist as well.
And are you going to be a sexual therapist too?
That's my goal, yeah.
And what is a sexual subject?
Someone who is more than an object. Somebody who has and expresses their own desires and their own preferences and isn't just there to be enjoyed by somebody else, but to enjoy themselves.
I don't understand. So someone that is just there to enjoy themselves?
Not just, but in society, women are often objectified, often considered to be there for men's pleasure. And so this is about how women can care about their own pleasure and their own enjoyments as well.
By doing what?
By voicing their desires, by being aware of their boundaries, by listening to their bodies, and by just respecting their own feelings.
And so is she doing this by herself, or is she doing this when she's intimate with the man?
Both.
But when she's intimate with the man, it's all about pleasing him, right?
Not all about pleasing him.
What
it's
else?
Somewhat about it, but it's about pleasing herself too. Don't you agree?
But the man is pleasing her and she is pleasing him at the time, right?
Yeah. Well, it can be both. You know, you can be communicating your own desires and also catering to your partner's desires. I think both are important.
So when you're acting out, when you're doing your due, she will be communicating to the man about how she wants it?
Yeah.
But she doesn't need to ask that. He already knows.
That would be ideal. I mean, in my experience, not all men already know.
Oh, they know? And so becoming a sexual subject, it's to show women how to be more into themselves and please themselves and be about them.
Yeah, to please themselves first, to know themselves first, and then take that understanding to a partner.
Amazing. Is this for men and women or just for women, your book?
The book, I don't know. I've had some male friends read it, and they say they got something out of it. It is a little more geared toward women empowering themselves, but I think men might read it to understand women better or to empower themselves as well.
Oh, what a mess. The last time we were here, you said that you were non-binary anything. Are you still all that?
You know, yeah, I would say so. That's a side of myself that you can use she or they pronouns. But I'm a woman. You can refer to me as a woman.
All right. None of that other mess.
It can be both. But you seem to have trouble with it. So.
You like being a non-binary whatever thing?
I mean, I think that gender, I just don't like boxes. And I think that people are much more than stereotypes. And to me, non-binary, to me, it just means I'm an expansive person. I have a masculine side to myself and a feminine side. And I don't need to be put into a box.
Oh, I see. But you are, it sounds like you're putting yourself into a box by having all those different names.
That could become its own box. Yeah, that's not the goal. I mean, the goal is not to say if you have these traits, you're a woman. If you have these traits, you're non-binary. It's personal. It's not to put anyone into a box.
Really? And so the last time we talked, you was a sex therapy, right? You were help with women.
A coach, yeah.
A coach. You still doing that kind of work too?
Yeah, I'm still doing that.
Oh, okay. What made you get into that?
Well, until I was 25, I had never had an orgasm with a partner. And then when I figured it out, I wanted to help other people with similar issues. And I was writing about sex. So I thought, you know, I should get a little more education and also help other people with sex.
Were you how old?
How old am I now?
I know. How were you old when you first did that?
25.
So like at 25, you had your first orgasm thing. And you were like, wow, this is great. I'm going to be a sex therapist.
Not right away, but over a few years, I was like, I think I got like a formula. Like I can teach other women how to do this.
Really? And are you good at teaching women how to do it?
I think so. I think I've gotten some feedback.
It's abnormal for women to have those things, the orgasm thing. It's normal for a man to have them, but it's abnormal for women to do it because women who are doing it are becoming like a man.
Really? You think? I mean, is it masculine to have a clitoris? You're just born that way. Like, what is masculine about it?
Is it masculine to have a clitoris? Would you say?
A clitoris? Do you know what that is?
That's what the woman has, right? That little thing there.
Yeah.
Right, but that is not for her to use like a man.
And what use would constitute being like a man? Touching it at all?
Don't even touch it.
Wow.
Except to take a shower.
Except to take a shower.
Yeah. Did you know that that's not normal for women to do that?
Well, that's it is common. The great majority of women do. So what is abnormal about it?
Because they're forcing themselves to do it. It's not happening naturally, as it were, for a man.
For me, it happened naturally.
Because you've been doing it for so long. And it seemed natural now.
But no one told me to do it. I just found it when I was like a preteen or whatever. Like, no one told me to. So isn't that natural?
No. Are you still addicted to sex?
Addicted. That is quite a claim. What leads you to make that claim?
What claim? I'm not claiming. I'm asking, are you still addicted?
Because before you said still, meaning I was before.
What did you say before you were addicted to it? The last time we talked.
Oh no, I've never been addicted to sex.
Oh, you've never been addicted to it?
Not at all.
So you can go without it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had sex in like 2 years. I can go.
You haven't had sex in 2 years?
Yeah, that's fine. I need to wait for the right person. I'm not addicted to sex.
Nice. And what is the right, what is the right person?
Someone who makes me really comfortable, who I'm very attracted to. And at this point, I think it would be in the context of a relationship. When I was younger, I was more flexible with that. But right now, I think it would be a relationship.
You so you're holding off with sex thing until then, until you get married?
Not until I get married.
Not until you get married, but until you meet the right person?
Yeah.
And so suppose you never meet anyone.
Oh, I think most people meet someone. I have a lot of years ahead of me.
Amazing. So are you still a feminist?
Yeah, I'm a feminist.
And what is that exactly?
It's someone who believes and advocates for gender equality.
And what is that?
What is gender equality? People having access to the same rights and opportunities.
Give me an example of what you mean.
I mean women being able to hold political leadership. I mean women being able to hold leadership in business. I mean women not being sexually assaulted. There are many pieces to that.
Do you still agree with me, or maybe you didn't agree with me before, that women were not created to lead but to follow?
Yeah, we talked about that. I don't think so, no. I mean, I think that depends on the individual. Some relationships, some women are more like that. I think I'm a little more like submissive like that, but then some women are more dominant.
But even though they try to be dominated, in reality, they were created to follow instead of lead, right? Even though they try to pretend they're dominated when they're really not, but they're created to follow and not lead, right?
Well, okay, so where are you getting that?
That women were created to follow and not lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural order from God.
So you believe it because it's in the Bible?
I know it because it's true. We really look at the order. You notice that women are one, you know, below the man and not above. She's below him. She need him to guide her.
I mean, even in the Bible, doesn't it say, like, love, like, respect thy husband and also love thy wife? Like, it is,
right.
There's also a husband's duty to his wife.
Right. He's supposed to love her because if not, if he doesn't love her with the right kind of love, she would be lost.
Mm-hmm. Would he be lost without her?
No.
So men got it all figured out.
Right. Well, they don't have it all figured out yet. They should, but they don't. But a lot of them are working on themselves now, and they're coming back to order the way they should be because the women need the men to be right so that they can get right.
I think, you know what, if two people agree to that, I think that's beautiful. But I think different people are different, and people should do what works for them.
Will you obey your boyfriend or husband when you get one?
Aw, I mean, to an extent. Not about everything. But I'll listen to him, and absolutely, if he feels strongly about something, I'll trust him.
Should a man marry a woman that does not obey him?
It depends on the man. I think if he's expecting her to obey him in everything and not have her own opinions, that relationship is going to have some problems.
So if she is expected to have her own opinion, he should not marry her because he can't allow her to have her own opinion because they're going to always be wrong. Am I right?
Well, I think, yeah, if a man thinks a woman should not have her own opinion and she wants to have her own opinion, they are not a match.
Right. Absolutely. Amazing, huh? So I wanted to ask you about this study. According to several studies, female depression rate have skyrocketed since the rise of feminism. And I wanted to know, what did you think about that?
I am skeptical of that statistic because we don't know that feminism is causing the depression rise just because they're timed together. It could be better diagnoses, more access to therapy. It could be, who knows, technology, loneliness. It could be a lot of things. Why do you think that it's because of that?
Because women are trying to take on a role that they're not built for. They're not created for. And as a result, it's causing suicidal thoughts, depression, loneliness. A lot of them are not having children, so they regret it later that they don't have children. It's bringing on all those things, which is evil because they have gotten away from their natural state of being.
Well, I don't know if feminism's to blame for that. I wish that we had more, time off for parents who are working and things like that, more social support. I don't know if that's because of women having access to equal rights, though, because they can still make their own choices and be a stay-at-home mom. And you know what? There are some women who judge women for that, but I don't think that should happen, and I certainly don't.
Which is best for a woman if she's married? to be home with her children, watching over the man's children, or taking care of the house and doing women's stuff, or trying to be a mother and about working and all that, which is best for her?
I think it's best for the child that they have caregivers present. I don't think it has to be the mother. I think it could be the father. It could be the grandparents. I think that it is flexible. I think the most important thing is there is someone around to give the child love.
But only the parents can give the children love. That the caregiver or giver don't have love to give the other children.
You think mothers have more love to give?
Well, the father have it. It comes from the father to the mother to the children. No one else can do that. Why would a parent take that kind of risk with the children when the love comes from the parent, not some caregiver or anything?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, some people are raised by their grandparents and turn out fine. You think it's really that rigid?
No, they don't. When they're raised by the grandparents, they're screwed up.
Do you have studies on this?
Yes.
You could send me the studies.
Okay. It's for the parents to raise their children, not anyone else.
I think... I think that people are doing their best and they should be present as much as they can, but they also have to provide. There's a lot of responsibilities parents have.
I want to ask you about men playing in women's sports.
Oof.
What do you think about that? Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
Not men, no. You're asking about trans women. That's what you're really asking.
Right.
You know what? I think there are guidelines around that they have to be on estrogen for a certain amount of time. It's not men at that point. It's people who are living as women. And you could look this up. There was actually a study showing trans women are not more likely to win at sports than cisgender women. I think it's not as big a deal as people are making it. It's so few people. And I think, like, we should just let people live their lives.
So you're saying yes to that? Men should be allowed to play in women's sport?
People who were assigned male at birth, if they transition and are living as women, I think should be allowed, yeah.
You say yes, they should?
Yeah.
But a male that transgendered to so-called woman, he's really still a male. They just took off one body part and put another part on it, right? But it's still a male and nothing else changed, right?
Other things, well, if they take hormones, and I mean living in that gender role is a very different experience. It's not just one body part. You know what? They should do more research, keep figuring out, are they actually at an advantage? But it's really not clear right now that this is harming women, and I think we should just let people live their lives.
So just let them play?
I think so.
And should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
By women, you mean transgender men.
Well, I'm really thinking both. Transgender, non-transgender, and all that mess.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, what is people's issue with that? If they think trans women have an advantage, then what advantage do trans men have? That, I mean, I don't see any harm in that.
But women cannot compete with real men in sport. The man has to lower his standard and pretend like the woman is winning.
But who's going to do that just because there's a trans man on their team? I feel like they're just going to focus on winning for themselves. I don't think they're going to do that.
So you're saying trans men, do you think normal women should be able to play in men's sport?
No.
You don't think normal women should play in men's sport, but the abnormal women should be able to play in men's sport?
You know what? If a cisgender woman wants to play in a men's sport, I don't really see... I don't know. Maybe they should just have an all-gender league and people should have the option to go into that. Maybe that would simplify things.
Yeah, let them get their own stuff. You know what I mean? Right?
I'm not going to completely agree with you, but that could be one option.
Are you like a just do whatever you want kind of person?
In what context?
Sports, transgender, male, female, gender, sex, and everything. Just kind of,
no.
Each person should just do what they want, you think?
Basically, yes. No, I think there should be some rules and regulations, but I'm not convinced it should be what you're proposing. Just only allow cisgender people.
But you do believe there should be some rules and regulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it begin then? Where will we start with the rule if everybody knows what they want?
Well, not everybody's doing what they want. They do have rules, as I said, that usually people have to have transitioned, have to be on hormones living as that gender. So that's what I mean by rules.
Oh, I see. What a mess, huh?
It is messy, but so are people.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about. Hitting the wall. You ever heard that term, hitting the wall? Hitting the wall is a term used to describe the age where women lose their attractiveness and are unable to find men who want to marry them. Mm. Have you ever heard? So you never heard that?
I've heard of that idea, just not that phrase.
Oh, what do you think about that idea? Women lose it after a while.
I know women in their 50s, 60s, even 70s, 80s who still have great sex lives and still have men attracted to them. I recently did an article series on sex after 70. And yeah, like women in their 70s and 80s talking about having very fulfilling sex lives. So I don't think that's true.
70 to 80?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Why would that be impossible? They still have the same body parts. Maybe they've undergone some changes, but there are medical treatments. There's hormone replacement therapy. Not everyone even needs that, but...
Are they taking Viagra?
Men are taking Viagra. Women more often would use something like vaginal estrogen to prevent pain or dryness. That's usually... Or lube sometimes. That's usually what women do.
What the... Why would a woman or a man want to have sex after 70?
Well, because it adds happiness to their lives. It helps them connect with their partners. And if you are, like, why not enjoy as much as you can?
As much of what you can?
As much sex or as much pleasure of any sort as you can.
But why is 70 and 80 is kind of time to... wind down and live the rest of your life out till you die without sex?
I mean, if someone wants to do that, that's fine. But a lot of people say they have the best sex of their lives at that time because they know themselves better. They can communicate and they have a deeper relationship with their partners.
I've noticed that a lot of women who are trying to do all this stuff, they're so lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, they're taking this extra stuff and whatever, but inwardly they're very lonely.
Are you talking about single women or women in relationships?
Both.
They're lonely. Why?
Because they're not really being fulfilled. They take all these different hormone things and do all this crazy stuff. It still doesn't fulfill them. You know, they're not, it's not satisfying.
Why isn't it satisfying?
Because it's not the answer to their problem.
What is?
A return to themselves, to truth, to life. You know, there's life that we have inside of us as well. And I noticed that most women don't find that anymore because they're trying to play a role of being manly or smart or trying to lead. Look at the world now. They're allowing the women to take over. Do you agree that the world is going to hell in a handbasket now? Women are taking over?
Oh, gosh, no. I won't believe women are taking over until women are most of the political leaders and CEOs. That's clearly not the case.
And what would be considered most?
Majority, over 50%.
So you want 50% of the women to rule the world?
I don't want it, but I'm saying until that happens, I'm not convinced women are taking over the world.
Really? So you don't see all the commercials and you don't see our government and police chief and mayors and commercials. Every time you look around, it's about the woman and not the man. That's dangerous.
Well, I haven't noticed that. Could you give me a specific example?
We have a female for the L.A. mayor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard of her? Karen Bass or something like that. She's black. Mm-hmm. You heard of her?
I think so.
Look at the mess she's making. She want to cater to the homeless. She want to put them in hotels. She want to be mama to the homeless, where men wouldn't put up with that. They'll make the homeless get out and do for themselves.
But that has that worked? I mean, if that were the solution, if men could solve the problem, then wouldn't it already be solved since we've already had male mayors?
That's a good point. But those men have been weak.
So maybe you should run for mayor.
There you go. I was hoping you'd make that suggestion. But in all seriousness, don't you see things getting worse as the women are taking over?
No, I can't say that.
Why can't you say it?
Because, as I said, most world leaders are men. Most business leaders are men. The argument can't be made that women are taking
over. I'm not sure if it's most men, businessmen are men now. That businessmen are men because the women are really taking over. And the men are allowing it to happen, and things are only getting worse.
Well, I think I'm not convinced women are taking over, but if there's something you'd like to change, then maybe you should speak up and maybe you should run for office yourself.
Amazing, huh? I want to ask you about your book. Your book is called, as I said, Subjectify, right?
Mm-hmm.
And subjectify mean, for the people, mean what again?
It means being in touch with your own desires, your own feelings, and not just catering to someone else's.
To be in touch with your own feelings,
mm-hmm.
and not just try to please the man or anyone. Mm-hmm. Really. And I want to ask you about mother teaching her son how to be to objectify women. Should mother be teaching that to the sons?
To not objectify women?
Let's see. Teach their son how to objectify women.
No, they should teach them not to objectify women. They should teach them to care about women's boundaries and to ask for consent if there's a sexual encounter, and to make sure women are seen for their hearts and souls and not just their bodies.
Meaning that the man shouldn't just assume that the woman would want to sleep with him or whatever, right? He has to ask her permission?
Yeah.
That is insane. Can you imagine how boring that would be?
Oh, we had this conversation last time, you know, but isn't boring better than rape? Like, how could you, if you don't know, then how do you know that it's even consensual if you don't ask?
But women, when men and women are dating or they want to be with one another, the woman let off the thing that let the man know, yes, I want to be with you, and he let her know, they don't have to have a discussion about it.
Mm.
You just automatically know.
I think, you know, if people have been together for a while, I'm not saying you have to ask every single time, but I think it's better if you talk about it, if you talk about what you like, what you don't like, if you talk about pregnancy and STI prevention. Those are conversations that increase intimacy by increasing feelings of safety and comfort.
So who's going to spend that kind of time to figure all that out? If you got the woman hot and bothered and she's ready, there's nothing else to try to figure out.
Well, I think it's great to have those discussions before you're hot and bothered, when you can think rationally and be like, okay, this is what I care about. These are my boundaries. And then you can get hot and bothered and not worry about anything.
Wow. So this is more proof that women don't know what they want there, right?
What do you mean?
Like a woman that has that kind of mentality. Oh, let's have this discussion beforehand. Let's talk about this and let's talk about that. It's more proof that women don't really know what they want, right?
It is not proof of that, because in that discussion, that's where you say what you want. I think women who know what they want are more likely to talk about sex.
But women don't know what they want.
What makes you think that?
Because when women tell men what they want, they get mad about that. Oh, that's not what I meant. And then when they don't tell them, they're like, you didn't talk to me about it. They don't know what they want. Have you noticed that women don't know what they want?
some women don't know what they want, but then that's up to her to figure that out, go to therapy and figure out what she wants, because otherwise you can't communicate it to someone else. And it could be an interplay. Maybe your partner has a suggestion like, hey, I want to do this. Okay, then you can do what he wants if you're open to it. But not knowing what you want can be dangerous, because then you might do something you regret and you're like, oh, I didn't even know I didn't want that. Like, it's better to know going in what you want and what you don't.
Did you learn all this in school?
In school and through experience.
Really? Should a man be bothered with a woman that doesn't know what she wants?
I don't think so. I think she can still be figuring out some things, but she should have a basic idea of what she wants in order to make it work.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Jesse! Jesse!
What in the world going on out here?
All these people are here for the merch, but we're sold out.
They're here for the merch?
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The merch is amazing.
I also noticed that a lot of women dress like sluts now. Mm. When I was growing up, it was rare that a woman would dress like a slut. And if she did, everyone in town knew she was a slut. Mm-hmm. And they would, like, go behind the barn and you know, have to do with her, sex with her, right? But they would never want that slut. And now I notice that women love to look like slut. Why is that?
Oh, because it's nice to feel sexy and feel wanted. Like, it's nice to, you know, get dressed up, look nice, have men look at you. Sometimes that's really nice, and it doesn't have to mean that you're going to do anything. It's just fun.
But can't they do that without dressing and look like a slut?
They can, but it can also be fun. Especially nowadays, it is nice to be free and to know that you aren't going to... It's less stigmatized nowadays than it was. So I think a lot of women, like, you know, they feel confined because they've had to dress conservatively just to be respected. So it makes sense. Some women would rather dress a little more slutty just because now they can.
But do you know that when that man is looking at the slut, all he thinks about is sex? He's not thinking, I want to marry this one. I would want this woman to be the mother of my children. It's like all he's thinking about, this is a slut and I want this slut in bed.
I think that's the man's problem. I know a lot of women, slutty women who are married, women who dress slutty and are married. I think the right man will see you for everything you are. They'll want sex and they'll want love, and they'll see you have all of that to offer.
Really? And you dress fine. Would you ever dress like a slut?
Oh, yeah. Occasionally.
You would?
Sometimes I like to go out, like, yeah, show a little bit of skin, get some attention. It's fun.
So sometimes you go out dressed like a slut?
I mean, I wouldn't say, depends how you define it. But yeah, you know, I have a shirt that's low cut and, like, shows a little stomach that I like to wear because I think I look good in it.
And you feel all sexy and everything? You're like, ready, huh? And when you dress like a slut, do you expect more men to hit on you or not?
Yeah, probably more men.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, well, at least you're honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, usually when women pay attention, close attention to how they dress, it's because they want people to notice.
Nice. I'm glad, because some of them pretend that's not what they want. And so they slutty. And if the guy hit on them, they're like, oh, you don't be, you're just doing it because I'm whatever, right? They pretend they don't want that, but they really do want it.
Depends what it is. I'm not saying catcalling. I'm not saying unwanted touching. I'm not saying, like, going right in with sexual comments. But to say, like, oh, hey, you look good. Like, yeah, I want that myself.
You know what I want to ask you about? And it just occurred to me. I go to the gym sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of those women have those big balloon butts.
Balloon butts.
You know how they have really round, big? Mm.
I haven't noticed that. I'm not looking at women's asses at the gym, but what tell me.
Oh, yeah, they have yoga ball butts. Mm. It's like everybody have a pair now at the gym. And they walk around at the gym and make sure that the guys look at them. They'll walk by and they'll pretend like they don't want you to see, but as soon as they walk by, they'll look back to make sure you see the yoga butt. What's up with all the yoga ball butts?
This is news to me. I'm not going to lie. My guess is that they just want to be appreciated that they're putting so much work into making their butts look good at the gym, and they want to be appreciated for that.
But that doesn't look good.
You don't think it looks
good? Like, it looks like a big yoga ball.
I mean, if it makes them feel confident, if they think it looks good, that's going to improve their confidence. So maybe it's not about how other people
see it. But don't they have to have surgery for all that kind of...
I'm not entirely sure what the yoga ball butt is, but yeah, some do.
You know what a yoga ball is. Like, they have at the gym these yoga balls where you can stretch on and lay back.
I'm thinking of those big bouncy balls.
It's like that. Is that necessary?
No, it's not necessary, but I don't really care if someone wants to do that to themselves. I think we should, you know, definitely challenge beauty standards, and we should know, you know, not every woman has to look that way. Yeah, a lot of it is not, you know, how women are born, so, like, women should feel pressure to look that way. I think that's the only issue that I would have with it.
I remember in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, I remember white girls... used to have, like, thin, little, nice, pretty bodies.
And,
and they were, like, all big butt, like Bertha butt or something, you know? They were, like, nice little small bodies and stuff like that. And it used to be so attractive. But now the white girls are getting the big black butts. Why?
Maybe because there's more black representation in the media. Maybe that body is less stigmatized. Maybe also women... There was a lot of pressure on women to be super skinny, and a lot of women rightfully called that out and said, you know, that's not healthy to starve yourself. So maybe that's part of it also.
So they want to be like the black girls?
I don't think they're trying to be, maybe some, like, but I think it's more just about being allowed to have your natural body and have curves and not have to be stick thin.
When I was in high school and even after high school, even with the black girl that I dated, they never had big butts. You know, they had nice little...
The standards have changed a bit.
Right. That's so sad, huh?
That's not sad. No, I think what's most important is that we're healthy physically and mentally.
So I want to ask you about relationship. What is the one issue that is troubling relationships today?
I think lack of communication, people being very burnt out from work, people being distracted by their lives, people being afraid to open up and trust other people, and just not communicating who they are or being afraid their partner will get mad at them if they say something bothered them. I think lack of communication is probably the biggest issue.
Is this men and women or just the women?
I would say both.
Both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And how do you solve that problem when they come in to talk to you? What would you suggest for them to overcome that?
I would suggest that they make a conscious effort to make time for their relationship, that they prioritize their self-care so they actually have energy for it, and that they learn how to communicate their feelings without attacking anyone. And, you know, if something bothers you, say, hey, this made me feel this way. You know, not trying to attack you, but maybe we could work on this so that I can not feel that way.
Why are people so into feeling today? Mm-hmm. It hasn't always been that way. Most people are into feeling. Make me feel good. Oh, I feel bad and I feel this. Feelings are not good. They're evil. Why are so many people into feeling today?
Well, because people, I think because more people are in therapy, people are realizing their feelings matter. And feelings aren't evil. The way you express your feelings can be bad. But to have a feeling and express it kindly and respectfully, that can only bring you closer to someone, I think.
What's good about feelings? You said feelings are good. What's good about them?
I think they put you in touch with who you are and what you need. Like, if you feel bad in a certain situation, that's information. That situation's not for you. If you feel really good in another situation, that's information. That situation's good for me. They're sort of a compass.
But human beings haven't always been so into feelings because they knew that feelings were not good. They come and go. One day you feel one way, and the next day you feel another way. And so human beings at one time will overcome those feelings. How did they become so popular and accepted as a norm?
I'm not saying people should just be driven only by their emotions. I think, you know, rational thought is good too, and definitely not acting on your emotions right away if they're very strong. I think people became into it maybe because of therapy, like growing profession of therapy and Instagrams that are like based on therapy concepts. I think there's just more awareness of mental health.
Amazing. Are you a feeling kind of a person?
I would say so. I like to believe that I'm also a thinking person, but I definitely listen to my feelings and express them.
And where do your feelings come from?
They come from different chemicals in my brain. I mean, how do you mean that literally? Or
yeah. Do you create your own feelings?
Dude, no.
And then where do they come from?
They come from neurological changes that happen in response to different situations that, like I said, let you know how, if that situation is good for you. And they come from other people's behavior. They can come from your own thoughts as well. They come from a lot of things.
And do you create your own thoughts?
You have some control over your thoughts, not always, but there's a certain level of control, and that's why we teach things in therapy, like skills to question, you know, if you're thinking irrationally and how to think more positively.
And what causes you to think irrationally sometimes? If they're not, are you saying they are your own thoughts or they're not?
They are what causes us to think irrationally, past experiences where something similar happened and now you're being almost brought back to the past. That can cause you to think irrationally. If you are having a really strong emotion and you're acting on it right away, that can cause you to think irrationally.
Really? So you believe that human beings are in control of their own thoughts?
It's a combination of your own control and your culture and your upbringing and a lot of things.
But they're not in control of their own thought.
I think partly yes, partly no. And I think the more you become aware, the more you can be in control of them.
Really? Is it possible for a human being to overcome thoughts, period, no thoughts, and just live a free life, a thought-free life? Is that possible? Mm.
Not entirely. There are some meditation masters who are really good at clearing their minds and just meditating and focusing on their breath. But I think even they would say, you know, thoughts still come in when I'm meditating, and you need thoughts to take care of yourself, to eat, to go to the bathroom. I don't think there's a human being without thoughts.
Well, there are practical thoughts like that. You know, you got to go to the toilet, you got to have a meal. But other than that, there's no need for thought. Do you have anger?
Yeah.
You have anger?
Sure, I feel angry sometimes.
And when does, and why?
Usually because somebody has mistreated me in some way. They've said something insensitive or not listened to me or something like that.
Why not overcome anger so you don't have to be dealing with it? That wouldn't be an issue at all. Why not overcome anger?
That sounds great. I mean, if someone could give me a pill that I'm never angry, I would love that. I don't think that is reality for most people.
If it is reality, would you accept it?
That's a good question. Because like I said, your emotions point you which way to go. And if I'm angry about something, that's usually for a reason. I think the ideal would be to like feel angry, take care of it right away, then just be able to let it go. I think that's the ideal.
And so if you were able to completely overcome anger, no anger, and just live your life, would you accept that?
That is a really deep question. No, I think anger serves a purpose, but I think the ideal is to feel angry briefly and then let it go.
So you wouldn't accept it if it was given to you?
That sounds really nice. That's why I'm torn, like to live a life without anger. But then how would you then know if something was wrong or if someone mistreated you? Or you wouldn't?
It wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be an issue because you would be free.
And then how would you make the world a better place? I mean,
by becoming free. You're never going to make the world a better place if you're living in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Angry people living in, they have their own hell. They live in their own hell. So they're never going to make the world a better place because they live in hell.
Anger also motivates people to make change in the world, though. I think it motivates a lot of activists, a lot of writers, a lot of politicians even, that they see something, they're angry about it, they want to change it. So if there was another way to have that motivation, I think a life without anger would be great.
Want me to tell you how to have a life without anger?
Sure.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah,
really?
Tell me.
You got to forgive your mother.
Your mother, yeah. Of all people.
She recreated you her image. You're not yourself.
You're not yourself? What do you mean by that?
You are your mother and not yourself because she she recreated her image and played victim, and she made your father look like the bad guy.
Hmm.
And so you became like your mother, not yourself. If you forgive her, she couldn't help herself. Her mother screwed her up. Their mother screwed them up, right? And return to your father, then you would never have anger again.
Hmm. That sounds very simple, but I will try it.
You will try it?
I do. I mean, I had great parents, so I can't say that I'm mad at either of them. But I think forgiving people is very powerful. It does set you free.
Have you forgiven your mother for screwing you up?
Yeah, I would say so.
You told her?
No, I don't need to tell her because she didn't screw me up.
No, she screwed you up.
She did?
Yeah, she made you in her image. And you're not, you are your mother, you're not yourself. Forgive her so you can finally become you instead of being like her, and you'll be much happier.
Are you, is everyone screwed up from their mother? Or are
every
you
human being.
Uh-huh.
Every, doesn't matter how much money, what color, male or female, where you live or don't live. Every human being is screwed up by their mother, and that's why they must return to the father.
The father God or the father their biological father?
Well, you're not going to return to God, the father God, until you forgive your earthly father for not protecting you from your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't help it because he was afraid of your mother. He ended up marrying his mother, the woman that he hated the most.
That's funny because my mom and my dad's mom have nothing in common, really. Sometimes people go the other direction and marry the opposite to get away from that.
I guarantee you, your father's married to his mother and your mother's married to her father, and they hate each other. They have a war going on. And the father may give in to the war because he just started fighting with the devil. He give up, right? And he let the mother just screw up the kids. But I guarantee you they're not at peace.
So have you done this?
Bank on that.
So have you done this?
Yes.
And you've been free from anger ever since?
For the last 30-something years.
Wow.
And everyone that does that, they get away from anger. They overcome anger, and then they can live a peaceful life, and they can deal with life. They can take it or leave it. They're not concerned about what others think about them or say about them. They have perfect peace, and they're not looking for love or anything.
Mm-hmm. So you are saying that, so what is that process of forgiveness? What does that look like?
When you realize that you resent your mother, she imposed her will on you or whatever, right? And you realize she could not help herself because you became just like her, angry like your mother, insecurity and all that. And when you realize, wow, I can't help myself. Something else is making me do this. And this is not what I want to be. And then you will realize, I got this from my mother. I have to forgive her. She could not help herself. And whether she admit that she was wrong or not, it's not important. You forgive her, and then God will forgive you and give you back yourself. And yourself is much better than your mama.
Hmm. Reminds me of what Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they've done.
Absolutely. 100%. And you will be free of anger. And you will have an amazing life, no matter what someone tried to do to you or not. Whatever. It wouldn't matter because it would be on them. Then you would be free.
I'll try it. That's, I think, the most profound thing you've said.
Amazing.
Thank you for that.
I told you, look to the man for the answer. Would you do that? Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, let me know how it goes. And it doesn't matter if she admitted it or not. Because most ego people are not going to admit that they were wrong. Mm-hmm. And then forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. He couldn't handle your mother. He was married to his mother. He became attracted to what he hates. Mm-hmm. But forgive him too. Did your father help you deal with your mother as a little girl?
Deal? I don't think there was much to deal with. My mother was
nice. Oh, he just left you to her?
No, both my parents were equally involved in my life.
So did he protect you from your mother?
I don't know. There was much to protect me from.
Oh, he just left you alone with her?
We're going in circles here. You know what? There were times I think both of my parents stood up for me when one was maybe not being so nice to me. So I would say yes.
Forgive your mother and your father. Your father for not protecting you. I promise you, if you do it, but I realize you're wrong for holding that against them. They couldn't help themselves, just as you couldn't help yourself. If you do it, I promise you, life will change for the good. And then you come out of your thoughts. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything, and you don't create thoughts. Mm-hmm. Just think about this. You would never create a thought that would give you fear, would you?
Mm-mm.
But yet you do.
Well, sometimes it's useful. If you are outdoors and there might be bears or something.
Well, I'm not talking about that kind of fear.
Okay.
That's a natural fear to protect yourself. But I'm talking about the fear and conflict you feel inside sometimes. You don't know where it comes from. It's just kind of there. You don't know what to do with it. Would you ever create that kind of conflict for yourself?
No.
Right.
I wouldn't.
All that will disappear when you forgive your mother. And your father, especially your mother.
That's very Freudian. It's all on the mother. No, there's something to it. People's parents do screw them up. And yeah, forgiveness is very liberating.
Yeah, all mothers screw up the children. They can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so forgive her. I got to ask this. I tell men to date for at least 7 years before sex.
Wow.
And marry. Isn't that a good idea?
Wow. I mean, one advantage is that they'll know the relationship is really based on shared values and not sex. So there is an advantage. But how many people are going to do that? That's a long time.
7 years is a long time?
Yeah. And I mean, you miss out on a lot of connection and fun as well.
But if you're like getting to know each other, you're not missing out on anything. Because now you're truly getting to know each other without the sex being involved, because you're not bringing in all that emotional stuff.
But what about, why 7 years? Like, I think you could accomplish that in 1 year.
1 year?
To know someone and to know you have shared values and to know it's not all about sex, I'm pretty sure.
No, you can't know that in 1 year. You can't wait to have sex. That's the problem.
Did you wait to have sex till you were married?
No, I wish I had, but I didn't. I learned late in life that I should have waited. Mm. But you're thinking that's not good advice.
It seems extreme. Like, to say wait a few months, I could see that. Like, yeah, get to know the person. Let's be realistic.
You can't even wait. How about 4? I haven't seen you in 4 years, right? How about 4 years? Does 4 years seem like a long time?
Yeah.
It does? Really?
To be dating a person and really attracted to them and not have sex? I mean, how are we defining sex? Like, no intercourse or no anything?
No. What else is there?
Oral sex, manual sex.
No oral sex, no sex.
Okay, that...
How did you come up with that?
Come up with what?
Or sex.
I did not invent oral sex.
Amazing. I advise men not to marry or date women with children already. Been married before and already have children. What do you think about that?
Not to Well, then they lower their pool of options. Some men, if they want to start a family from scratch, that's fine. But some men might be perfectly fine if they want to be dads. I've known men like that. They're like, sweet, I got a woman who's a package deal, and now I get to be a dad. What's wrong with that?
Children don't want step parents. They only want their natural parents. And so when the mother or the father bring another man into it, or another man bring another woman, it creates problems for the children because they become jealous. They want their parents' attention, right? And they become angry when their father or mother brings someone else into the picture because they only yearn for their own parents, their natural parents.
But what if they don't have that?
When parents do that, they're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about the children.
But what if their father left and this is their chance to have a male role model, even if it's not the same? Isn't it better than nothing?
No, because if the mother, let's say the father left the mother, right? She decides, you know what? I'm going to raise my children. I'm not going to bring another man into it. I'm going to focus on me, get myself right, and just be there for my children.
That's a lot. I mean, especially if she has to financially support them on her own, too. I mean, you seem to feel women should stay home and men should be the breadwinners. So in that scenario, are you saying women should be the breadwinners and the caretakers?
Well, if the fathers leave and they got to go to work, I understand that. But they still don't have to bring another man into the family because it's harder on the kids already. The father gone or the mother's gone and they want both parents. And now they got somebody else in there, and that man that move in with the woman or the woman with the man, he's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about the children, period. Or she's only thinking about herself and not thinking about the children, period.
I've known
people. He's trying to get love. He's trying to get sex.
I've known people who really appreciated having step-parents and step-children and who really did care about their step-children. I don't think it's that black and white. I think maybe there is a unique bond with a biological parent, but especially if you're really young, like, and, you're like a year old and a new man shows up and is your father, would you even remember that he wasn't there when you were born?
You always yearn for your parents, your father. That's the problem. That's what human beings yearn for, is their father. A return to the father.
If the ultimate father is God, though, then do people even need a physical person?
They're not going to get to God unless they go through their earthly father.
Mm. Yeah, but again, what if that person's not there to begin with?
Then they have to forgive their father. Because you're right in that a lot of times the mothers run the fathers off and then they tell the children, oh, your dad didn't love you. He left. And fathers don't leave their children. They leave the mother of their children. But the mother made them think they left them. And so she'll turn the children away from the father. Father do not leave the children. They leave the mother. You agree with that?
No. Well, some fathers don't even know. Like, what if you just had a one-night stand and got someone pregnant? You're not really leaving anyone. Like,
right. If he doesn't know about it, and the woman can't not going to tell him, then I understand. One last thing I got to ask you. I should recommend that men never marry an educated woman.
Mm.
Because educated women don't make for good mothers and wives.
Mm. That's sad for me to hear as an educated woman. Can't someone be knowledgeable and warm and nurturing?
No.
No, never.
Why because not? Educated women on an ego trip, they want to be equal to men. And so they would never make for a good wife and mother.
Oh. Well, that's sad news because I can't undo my education, but would, I think...
Would you be willing to drop your education if you found the right man and you become a wife and a mother? And forget about the education?
No. There is no need. You can be educated and still be nurturing and warm and kind and someone who listens to her husband and respects his education and his knowledge.
How is that possible? That's not even possible.
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
Because the woman thinks she's equal to the man because she has an education.
And in what ways are we unequal that you find important?
God and Christ, Christ and man, man over woman and woman over children.
So that's a religious-based belief?
No, that's reality.
And what does that look like, though? Does that mean that you can't have a say in how your children are raised?
No. She should listen to her husband, and her husband, because he's on the right track, doing the right, being right, he's going to always lead the woman in the right way to raise his children. Women can't raise children without the man. She needs the man to lead her.
I think that's kind of a limited worldview. I think that people are more expansive than that, and that we can have all of it, and that...
All what?
That we can be educated and great wives and great mothers. And it's not about trying to play the man's role or take over for him. It's about respecting him and also respecting yourself and listening to your own
That's
feelings.
That's never going to work.
I know.
You can bank on that. There's not one woman that's happy living that way, and it's never going to work. And there's not one man that's in a relationship with a woman like that. It's never going to work. They have a war going on. It's a fight.
No, it's not about having a war.
But it is if that happens.
It's not about trying to be right or to be better. It is about having two full human beings show up, listen to each other, respect each other. And yeah, putting your trust in your husband is beautiful. I would love that. But that doesn't have to mean giving up me.
But you're not your education.
Mm-mm.
Who are you?
I'm a lot of things.
Who are you?
I think I'm my heart and my kindness and my curiosity and my playfulness, and my education is part of it.
But you yet haven't told me who you are. You told me about your education, your emotions, your kindness, your thing, but who are you?
I'm not sure what answer you're looking for.
I want to know, who are you? You just describe all these emotional things about you, your body, this and that, right? But that's not who are you. Those are body parts.
Qualities aren't body parts. I mean, well, who would you say you are?
No, I want to find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
Yeah. I think I said I'm a kind, smart. Yeah,
that's an emotional thing. Okay. You're kind and smart, but you're not kind and smart all the time. Sometimes you're not so kind.
That's fair.
So when you're not kind, is that you?
Yeah.
And when you are kind, that's you?
Yeah.
What the?
I think I meant in general, I'm usually a kind person.
But you are. I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
And I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
All right. Okay. We're hot seat.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
It's someone who lives in the male gender role.
Do you have white privilege?
Yeah.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
No.
Do you believe in climate change?
Yeah.
Does a chicken have lips?
I don't know. I say no.
True or false? Abortion is worse than slavery.
False.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Did you know that we celebrate White History Month every July?
Why is that?
Because July just feels white.
Because of the 4th of July?
White History Month, 4th of July, summertime, vacation, relaxation, appreciation in the country. So we celebrate. We're about to celebrate our 7th year, I believe, in July. Will you celebrate White History Month with us?
No, I'll celebrate the 4th of July. That I'll celebrate.
But why not White History Month?
Because every month is White History Month. If you think about learning about history in school, I'm pretty sure every month there were a bunch of white people in your history books.
Wow. Should black people get reparations?
Yeah.
Do we need more white babies?
No.
Do you love white people?
Sure, yeah.
You love white people?
Yeah, all people.
No. Do you love white people?
Yeah.
Is Joe Biden the worst president we've ever seen?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Do you support the Great White Hope?
I don't know what that is.
What?
I'll say no, but don't hold me to it.
You don't know who the Great White Hope is? Donald Trump, where you been?
Okay, I'm glad I said no.
Why?
He has some very problematic attitudes toward women, toward racial minorities, toward a lot of groups of people.
Really? Have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
Mm-mm.
Do you support open borders?
I think so. I would need to learn more about that issue.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you have fun?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in again. I totally appreciate it. Tell the folks how to get your book, your counseling therapy, or whatever you're doing, and your sister.
Oh, yeah. If you could include links, that'd be great, like under the video. But find me at SusannaWeiss.com, SusannaWeiss. My Twitter is Susanna Weiss. My Instagram is Weiss Susanna. Susanna spelled with a Z and an H at the end. And my book is called Subjectified, Becoming a Sexual Subject. You can find it on Amazon or just Google it.
When women get mad and men tell them, you know what? You are really a sex subject.
That might seem strange out of context, but if they've read my book and they come back and they're like, you know what? This is you. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Let me hear from you. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, and blah, blah, blah. And don't forget to check out our merch and go to Locals and donate, as well as thefallestate.tv. Let me hear from you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Amazing. Nice. That was easy, right?
Yeah.